Welcome to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. Now let's begin.
Well, hello, fellow podcast listener, and welcome to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Chris Lockhart, and joining me this evening, first up, is my co-host in crime, Mr. Kevin Decent. How's it going, Kevin?
It's going well, Chris. Glad to be here tonight. Looks like a good conversation ahead, and something to take my mind off the world for a while.
Excellent. Excellent. And we have a couple of guests here. Well, they're not guests. They are regulars on the Deep Space Nine discussion episodes. First up, Mr. Richard Szabo. How's it going, Richard?
Doing all right. A little bit tired, but that's parent life, I guess. And just here to talk about a little bit of Star Trek.
Star Wars.
That's... Sorry, like I said, I'm tired. But yeah,
you weren't being tired.
That's all good, buddy. And last but not least, we have Curtis Holloway. How's it going, Curtis?
Awesome, Chris. Just awesome.
All right. So before we get into the meat and potatoes of tonight's episode, so to speak, let's go around the table and discuss our Star Wars origin story. Because this episode is called The State of Star Wars. We're going to be reminiscing about the current state of that franchise. We're going to be talking the sequel trilogy. We're going to be talking about The Mandalorian, the books, the animation, and the future. So, yeah, let's go around the table and just discuss our Star Wars origin stories. So I'll kick it off. I honestly don't remember the first Star Wars I ever watched. I imagine it was probably the original Star Wars, Episode 4. But I just remember as a kid, you know, every once in a while, CTV would have them on, like, a Sunday night. And for, like, the longest time, I never saw the ends of those movies because I was, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 at the time. So, you know, they would air them Sunday night at 9 o'clock. And guaranteed, by, like, 10 o'clock, I was passed out on the couch. But I've always loved Star Wars as long as I can remember. I mean, I'm a Star Trek fan, obviously, but I'm also a Star Wars fan, you know. And I want to say, like, you can be both, you know. I don't know. There's this misconception that, well, you're either a Star Wars fan or you're a Star Trek fan. You know, it's kind of like, you know, either you drink Coke or you drink Pepsi. You know, I drink both. You know, because they're both, you know, they're similar products. But they're different, you know.
One is always better in the end.
Yeah, my tendencies definitely lean more towards Star Trek. I've always been more of a Trekkie, but I mean, I still love Star Wars. I still consider myself a Star Wars, diehard Star Wars fan. Maybe not as diehard as some people for sure, but yeah, like I grew up on the original trilogy. The prequel trilogy, as much as people kind of shit on them, I don't mind them. You know, I remember the excitement of going to see Phantom Menace for the first time. That was the first Star Wars movie I actually saw in theaters. So in that sense, it had a special place in my heart. And, you know, I've always had a love for Star Wars. So, Kevin, what is your Star Wars origin story?
So, by the time I was old enough to, you know what Star Wars was, so I was born in 78, I'm pretty sure Jedi was already out, but I was too young to be taken to the movie theater for it, though. So, it's like just on that line. But I remember WPIX out of New York City, Channel 11, would play Star Wars, the first movie, every so often. Kind of like when we were growing up and, you know, Wizard of Oz was played once a year and it was a big deal and everyone had to get together for it. That's what Star Wars was like. But because Jedi was fairly recent and then the Ewoks and Droids cartoons came on, mm-hmm. the toys were still everywhere. Now, for all the kids listening to a bunch of, you know, Generation X guys talk about things here, kids, when we were growing up, toy stores and department stores actually had toys inside of them, not just empty aisles. So you could go and we could buy, I could buy Luke and Han and Leia and Chewie and everyone. I had so many toys. Anytime the shows came on, once we got going for video rentals, I was like, oh my gosh, is there anything Star Wars or like Star Wars or close to it? You know, I sat through the Ewok movies because at least it was something mm-hmm. going on. Loving it. And then out of nowhere, as a lot of us grew up, Star Wars became a dirty word. Oh, you like Star Wars? Oh, you watched that movie? I mean, most of nerd culture, you know, was a dirty word when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of nowhere, late 90s, it's like, no, hey, does everyone remember Star Wars? That was fun. Let's do that again. And I don't think it ever slowed down since. It's crazy how people realize, oh, we made a lot of money off of this and could continue to. Why did we let it sit for about 15 years?
Well, that and kudos to George Lucas, because that was totally his decision. Like, you know, and I guess he was worried about oversaturating the product, I guess. And I think we're kind of seeing that now a little bit with Disney. But anyway, we'll get into that a little bit. I just want to add to it. Like, you're talking about the Star Wars toys. I remember when I was in elementary, there was this kid. He was in grade 6. I was in, like, grade 1. He was, like, the biggest Star Wars fan that I ever knew at the time. And he used to bring his toys to school. Like, he had, like the TIE Fighters and the X-Wings and all the toys, and he would play with them at noon hour, and I was so envious. Because it was just him and his friend that were allowed to play with them. He wouldn't, like, include the rest of us. So we would just kind of stand around and watch them play with these awesome Star Wars toys that I wasn't allowed to play with. But yeah, cool. Anyway, Richard, your Star Wars origin story.
Well, honestly, I've basically been a fan of sci-fi my whole life, like, you know, even things like Dune by mm-hmm. Frank Herbert. I never really did get into like Battlestar Galactica, but I really got into Star Trek, obviously,
mm-hmm.
and I really got into Star Wars, and there's just so much lore. There's like 50,000 years of lore when it comes to Star Wars, all the way back to Knights of the Old Republic, and so on through the list, like Revan and Malak, and I can remember all of the, you know, Sith Lords' names, and it's been really great. And then, you know, you watch some of the newer cartoons, like Clone Wars and things like that, and you see what happened to Darth Maul, and then things changed. But yeah, I've basically been a fan my entire life. I really enjoyed the prequel series, because mm-hmm. I was young enough to be excited when they came out. When they were new, I was like, oh man, new Star Wars, that's totally sick. And yeah, it was pretty great in my opinion. And I had some excitement initially when I heard about them, you know, making a sequel series.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all changed.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are feeling that way, unfortunately. Curtis, your Star Wars origin story.
Actually, it's pretty much the same as my Star Trek origin story. I grew up with a stepmother, which not everybody gets to do, but I did, and it was pretty cool. And her brothers, the guys I still call my uncles, were all huge Star Trek and Star Wars nerds back when nerd was, like was said, a dirty word.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up just watching it because, well, that's what the grown-ups were watching, and the TV was playing it because you only had one back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you would watch, is whatever the heck the grown-ups happen to be watching. And that's, so I just sort of grew up thinking, yeah, this is what TV and movies are. So it was pretty normal for me. But then I remember I was in fifth or sixth grade when suddenly, for some reason, the original Star Wars movies, episode 4, 5, and 6, were back in theaters, remastered. They had new effects and some added scenes. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool. And I grew up out in the country, so going to see movies wasn't a regular thing for us. But we went and saw all three of those in the theater. And I just, all of a sudden, all my classmates gave a shit about Star Wars, too. which they never really had. You know, it wasn't it wasn't a thing. I wasn't in the popular clique. I was in the group of three or four of us that cared about such things.
Yep. The loners, the outsiders.
You know what? I still am, and I like it that way. You find some solid people over here. But yeah, so that's kind of how it got started. And then, of course, I moved on to junior high. And like every prepubescent male, I fell head over heels with Natalie Portman, thanks to The Phantom Menace. And yeah, I mean, I just sort of got swept up in the tide with everyone else. But of course, I'd been swimming with it since I was a kid, really. So it was just so cool and exciting to see the things that I had grown up watching and really enjoying get sort of more accepted by society at large. It was so cool. And that's I'm going to end that on a positive note right there. I don't need to get into what's happened lately.
Yeah, because we will be getting into that here shortly. But the movie Fanboys, I really like that movie because it really did capture the spirit of what it was like leading up to The Phantom Menace. Like the excitement, you know, wanting to know what's going on. And I really like that movie. And that movie was hilarious because they did have that scene where it was Star Trek fans versus Star Wars fans. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but Seth Rogen plays a Star Trek fan and a Star Wars fan. He's like the head of the Star Wars fans and the head of the Star Trek fans. But he's playing obviously different people. It was great. It was a great movie, and it really, like I said, captured the excitement of The Phantom Menace. You know, like people forget like that movie. Like people literally were lined up months before the movie actually came out. You know, people camping on the streets.
For real? Yep. Like, it was big hype. It was huge hype.
Was hilarious. And then the one guy, the chubby guy for the Star Wars fans, he played in Balls of Fury. Those kinds of like satire parody movies, you know, were actually good back then. And for me, it was like an inner dilemma because I almost equally love Star Trek and Star Wars, but I will always be a little bit on the side of Star Trek, just a bit more, you know?
Yeah, me too. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know, man. I think they're really complimentary. Star Wars scratched an itch for me that Star Trek didn't at that point.
That's true, too.
You know?
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, let's go on and talk about the sequel trilogy. That's the first up on the list. Going back in time a little bit, 2005... 15 years ago, I remember being sad because at the time that's when Revenge of the Sith came out, and I enjoyed Revenge of the Sith, but I was sad because at the time George Lucas said this is it, there's not going to be any more Star Wars after this. This is the last movie, and I remember watching that opening crawl, thinking, you know, man, this is the last time I'm going to see this for the first time. You know, like it makes me sad. So when, you know, I think it was 2012, when Disney bought Star Wars from George Lucas, and, you know, immediately they announced we're doing a sequel trilogy, you know, Luke, Leia, and Han are going to be in it, and, you know, we're going to continue the story of Skywalker. I was super excited. I was so excited. I was like, right on. You know, like, this is awesome. Assuming that they were going to include George Lucas in some way, you know, if anything, as a consultant. And at the time, I was excited that J.J. Abrams had been announced to direct it because, although I wasn't a big fan of the 2009 Star Trek movie, I didn't mind it. Like at the time, it was okay. It was just nice to see Star Trek back, right? And I was hopeful, you know, because J.J., I mean, he's had his name attached to some good projects, like Lost. I'm a huge fan of Lost.
I was going to say, he did Lost. I had big hopes.
I was a fan of Fringe. I know he had his name attached to Person of Interest. You know, like, he can do some good things. Alias, I really enjoyed Alias. And I got to say, like, that with that first movie, I was, I didn't hate it. You know, they're like, I'm talking about Force Awakens, of course. There are some good things about The Force Awakens. And I just want to stress, too, everyone is entitled to their own opinion. Like, I know some people just love these movies, and but for me, I was disappointed. You know, like the good things, I did like Rey. You know, I liked the fact that they were going with a female, you know, Force wielder. You know, that's something we hadn't seen in the original trilogy or the prequels. So I was cool with that. I was cool with, I really liked Finn, you know, the character Finn. I liked the idea that there's the stormtrooper that basically is like, shit, I can't do this. And he has, you know, he has this, he's wrestling with his conscience and he ends up turning on, you know, the First Order. I like Kylo Ren. I like the idea that, you know, Han and Leia had this kid that turned to the dark side. I liked Snoke, you know, like when we seen him in the hologram and he's like a giant, I was like, what's going on here? Like, there, you know, like Force Awakens, we didn't actually see him, so we didn't know, is he, you know, so there was some theories that he was like the size of Yoda. There was some theories that he was actually a giant. You know,
well, the first time we ever saw Palpatine, he was just a giant head hologram.
Yeah.
Wasn't he? In the original Empire?
Yeah, exactly. So that was like the speculation was, is he doing the Palpatine thing where he's got to be bigger on his holograms, or is he actually that big? You know, or is he actually small? Like, there was so many cool, you know, ideas and stuff being thrown around out there. And I kind of like the, you know, we didn't see Luke in this movie till right at the end. You know, like, this was kind of like the Empire Strikes Back in the way, like, where, like, the Empire Strikes Back, Vader spends the whole movie looking for Luke. Like, that's his mission. He's looking for Luke Skywalker. He needs to get to him. He wants to turn him. And that's kind of what they're going for in this movie. They're like, we got to get Luke. He's the only one that can, like, bring us, you know, help us out to defeat, you know, the First Order and the dark side. But then there's things that I didn't like. I didn't like the fact that, you know, I loved seeing Han and Chewie. You know, seeing them back on the Falcon was amazing. But the fact that someone stole the Falcon, that really bothered me. I'm like, there's no way Han would lose the Falcon. Like, there's just no way. So I didn't like that aspect. I didn't like the Starkiller base idea. You know, like, I know in the movie Han makes the joke, well, it's just a bigger Death Star, and that's exactly what it was. And of course, I'm one of those guys that has to analyze everything, and, like, the logistics of it don't make sense. Like, the logistics for the Death Stars made sense. You know, it took them, you know, 19 years to build the first Death Star, and presumably a few more years, and they weren't even done the second Death Star by the time we saw it. The fact that they made this thing out of a planet, like, how could you do that with nobody knowing what you're doing? Like, it's just mind-boggling, especially with their limited resources. Like, the Death Stars made sense to me because it was the Emperor. He had an empire. Like, he could do things in secret. He could, you know, make people work for him, you know, against their will. The First Order is basically the remnants of the Empire that weren't destroyed by the Republic, the New Republic. So, you know, the fact that they're able to build this base out of this moon, you know, over the course of 30 years or whatever, that, you know, it is true. But to me, that's, I don't know. I would think that would take hundreds of years to build that thing. I didn't like the goofiness, like, you know, making Phasma betray the First Order. I didn't think she would do that.
Oh, man. Phasma got done dirty.
Oh,
Phasma,
yeah.
Phasma's a badass, and we didn't even get to see how badass.
Yeah, exactly. And then, moving on to Last Jedi, I didn't like they done Luke dirty. You know, to me, like, that was a completely different character. Like, that was not Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker wouldn't throw his lightsaber away. Luke wouldn't, he wouldn't be the ass he was in that movie. Like, that just, like, that should have been the movie where they trained Rey. Like, she should have spent.
Wouldn't have gave up on Ben.
No, like, and him trying to kill him, like, I don't know, like, it was completely out of character. You know, a lot of people hate Last Jedi, but I wouldn't say I hate Last Jedi. But, I mean, like, Snoke got taken out like a punk. Like, what a disappointment with Snoke. You know, it was kind of exactly like what they did with Darth Maul. Like, Darth Maul, at least Darth Maul made it to the end of the first movie. Snoke didn't, only made it halfway through, you know, his movie, and he gets killed. And then, yeah, Rise of Skywalker, it was just a mess. There's, you know, I mean, I would have been okay with them bringing Palpatine back if they had, you know, had hints of it in the first two movies. The problem with the sequel trilogy is they went into it without a plan. They had no plan in place. Like, they hired J.J. Abrams to do the first movie, and then they handed it off. And then Rian Johnson did what he wanted to do, which did not sit well with a lot of people. And then they brought J.J. back, and then they just made a mess of it. Like one thing I was looking forward to in The Rise of Skywalker is Matt Smith, who played one of the doctors in Doctor Who, was supposed to be a villain in that movie, and all his scenes were cut. Like, he wasn't even in the movie, and he filmed scenes. Like, supposedly he was supposed to play, like, a younger version of Palpatine or something. And he wasn't even in it. Like, I don't know what the hell they were thinking. Like, they had absolutely no plan. And The Rise of Skywalker should have been amazing. It should have been the Avengers Endgame for Star Wars. It should have been like, oh my god, this is so awesome. And it was so disappointing. But anyway, I've rambled on enough. Long enough. I'll move the conversation over to Kevin. Kevin, what are your thoughts on the sequel trilogy?
Some of what you touched on, and I tried. I tried when it came out, and I think we may have recorded something as well where I tried to make sense of it and understand it and everything. And the issues boil down to a couple things. One, Star Wars just does better for kids, flat out. My kid can watch those movies, and it's space, and it's explosions, and it's fighting, and we don't need to think at all. And that's the original trilogy has a lot of problems, but because of when I saw it, I'm always going to forgive it and look past those problems, as opposed to if I saw it for the first time now. So there's just something about Star Wars being for kids. There's something about the hype, too. Like, no matter what happened, it was never going to live up to the hype. Same with the prequel trilogy as well. Like, unless all of a sudden when you walk into the movie theater, they also have a live flying unicorn in every theater. Like, nothing was going to live up to the hype machine that they themselves created for this. And then you pointed out the lack of the ending not making sense, or the journey they're taking. And I was trying to think of a good example from 80s childhood of this was actually planned out. And the best example I can think of, bear with me for a moment, is WrestleMania. Okay. In April, they would say, what are we going to do for April of next year? Who's fighting who? Who's a good guy? Who's a bad guy? Who's got the title? A year out. Okay, that's what we want in a year. Now work backwards. How do we get everyone in that position that we want and to that level that we want by next year? So we have a continuous story for the whole year of here's who's a good guy, a bad guy, who's going to rise, who's going to fall, so we get to this ending. And that most recent trilogy does not have it.
No.
And we know about all the infighting and director changes and writer changes and all, but it just becomes a mess of there's not one fluid storyline, and we're all doing mental gymnastics to try to create one storyline out of what they presented us, and it's like, screw it, there just isn't one. There just isn't one, and I'm hurting my brain, and I just need to cherry pick what I like.
Yep. Richard, your thoughts on the sequel trilogy?
Well, I remember being pretty excited. There was some new Star Trek, and if I recall correctly,
Star Wars.
Curtis and I went to. Wow. Damn it.
It's all good, man. I totally understand baby brain. I was there, buddy. I know.
So, Curtis and I went to go see the newest Star Wars in theater. And I was like, yeah, this I hadn't really heard much about it. I probably did more thinking than I remember. And we were like going to see it. We went to West Edmonton Mall in the big theater. And I remember partway through, you know, Curtis was like, man, I'm fitting to walk out of here. Like, it was that bad. Well, we stayed. And on the way out, we just agreed that it was really bad. And they did lay it dirty, honestly, I think, afterwards. Because that would have been, like, a hell of a reason to go to battle for the rebellion. You know, they could have fought in her name. You know, she died as a warrior. You know, she died the way she should have died, or she should have died that way. And yep. It turns out they just sort of magically, you know, Mary Poppins saved her ass. And I'm like, that just isn't right, you know. And then they CGI'd the rest of her after she died, and yeah, it was a poor homage, and it wasn't done well. Personally, it was thrown together. Disney was just like, hey, let's go make a few bucks off this name that's international, and everybody in the world knows Star Wars. That's what they were going for. And at the same time, they were kind of, you know, working in these, I would say, quote-unquote, woke aspects of it. Like, I don't necessarily have any problems with, like, female leads. We've had many of them in science fiction. But Rey, for example, could have had better storytelling, could have had a little bit more backstory. They could have done her better. The actress was all right. There's a few things along those lines. You know, the storyline of the first, second, and third, basically the same as the original series. You know, almost play-by-play, the first two are very, very similar. They could have gone with something better. They could have done the writing better. And even some of the side movies. Rogue One was all right. I recently, you know, did a little bit more into Lando Calrissian's movie, and basically that entire movie was just one giant plot hole, and it was also terrible.
Yes.
It was entertaining to some degree, but for kids, maybe. You know, it's...
You're talking about the Solo movie.
Yeah, the Solo movie. Yeah, so, I mean, aside from that, you know, I've just lost a lot of faith in Star Wars brand. And if they were going to go with, you know, like a strong female character, there's plenty to be had in the Star Wars universe. Honestly, they could have done something really awesome with Ahsoka Tano. She was super popular, and she was Anakin's Padawan when he was a knight, and she would have been amazing, honestly. You know, just as a top of my head, like, that would have been a good example of, like, hey, there's a strong female in Star Wars already. Let's see what we can do with her, because she already kicks so much ass.
Or, you know, like, Abeloth, really the strongest Force user.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Things are already in lore. Things that are already accepted. They had to create a new character. You know, they call her Mary Sue and things like that. You know, honestly, yeah, that's pretty much where it's at for me. Just disappointment and sadness of, like, my childhood. Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, Star Wars is going to be ever-changing and adapting, but you could adapt it and change it good, not bad.
Yeah, I agree. Like, like, one thing I will say with the sequel trilogy, I don't fault the actors at all. Like, I like Daisy Ridley. Like, I think for what she had to work with, I think she did good. I can't remember the actor's name who played Finn. But
John Boyega.
Yeah, John Boyega. Yeah, he was fantastic, I thought. It's just unfortunate in Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker, they kind of turned him into, like, this fool character, like this bumbling idiot.
I do like John Boyega, like as a person, like as an actor. I've seen him in a couple of things, and he's pretty good. I do like him.
Oh yeah, I thought he was fantastic in Force Awakens. You know, like when he picks up that lightsaber and fights Kylo Ren, I that was like an oh shit moment for me. That was one of my favorite moments in Star Wars. You know, at the, because apparently in Rise of Skywalker, like he's, you know, wanting to talk, he has to tell Rey something, but we never find out what it was because they never have that conversation. Apparently, according to the novelization, he was going to tell Rey that he is a force, that he's force sensitive, like he's basically going to become a Jedi now. But during the Force Awakens, he was just a regular dude. So seeing a regular dude picking up a lightsaber and fighting, you know, a Sith type person, like it was awesome. Like I was so excited for that. But unfortunately, you know, as the saying goes, they did him dirty. You know, like with the Last Jedi, you know, they made him look like a fool in that movie, and I don't think he ever really recovered. And you know, now that, you know, I've learned some of the behind the scenes politics, like with Kathleen Kennedy, apparently, you know, she's got this feminist agenda, I guess, you know, and they turned Rey into this, you know, Mary Sue character, you know, like where she's all powerful and, you know, all she needs is minimal training and she becomes like the greatest force user in history. And she can do all these amazing things that were never in Star Wars lore before, you know, like it was just unnecessary. Like I'm all for a strong female character, but you don't need to overkill it, you know, like you really don't.
And that's
one of the great things about Luke, like in the original trilogy, is he was not more powerful than the Emperor. Like his true power was in that he was able to turn his dad back to the away from the dark side and save him, you know. And his
he actually had a hero's journey too.
Yes. Like, yeah.
Things happened that made him and developed him.
Yeah.
You know what I would have liked, would have made the movies a lot better for me, was an 80s style montage of Rey getting down and doing some real training.
Yes.
Like you see that part in Star Wars 2.
Empire Strikes Back?
Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And you can see, like, that training montage, you know, he's doing flips and he's lifting rocks and doing stuff. That would have been, like, that would have been enough for me, honestly. I'd have been like, yeah, man, I love 80s style montage. Let's do this. That would just been, would have been nice.
Well,
something like that.
Yeah, and I assume that's what they were going to do in The Last Jedi. Like, I thought that was the whole point of her finding Luke, was we were going to get that. But anyway, Curtis, your thoughts on the sequel movies.
And so I was sitting up. I'm a structural ironworker by trade. I was 100 feet in the air, sitting on a beam in the freezing cold when I found out that Disney was making a new Star Wars movie. And I was really excited, like everybody mm-hmm. else, and I couldn't wait. I ran to the internet that night and I just absorbed as much as I possibly could, and there was nothing. But you know. The forums were lighting up, websites were lighting up with people talking about Star Wars again, and oh, it was so cool. And I pre-bought my tickets. I went and saw it at, I think it was still called, was it still called Silver City back then, or was it
Scotiabank? No, anyway. I think it was Scotiabank.
I went to the West Edmonton Mall Theater
mm-hmm.
and saw it there. Of course, it's like the biggest theater in town. And I had the same reaction as everyone else. I kind of like gave it the side eyes, but I was like, all right, this could be really cool. I don't know, but this could be really cool. Initially, I wasn't a huge fan of Rey. I was like, all right, she seems a little OP, but let's see where they go with it. Maybe there's a reason why she's mm-hmm. flying the Millennium Falcon by herself better than Han and Chewie. I don't know. But man, was it so? How cool was it to see the Millennium Falcon flying around again?
That was
like,
cool.
That hit anybody else in the feels, or was that just me?
Oh yeah, no, I was right there with you.
I had like tears in my eyes in the theater. I was like, I was a kid all over again.
I was there. It was great.
That was so cool. Kylo Ren at the beginning of the movie seemed like such a mega badass. Like, we've seen Vader absorb lasers, but nobody just stopped them in midair to give a badass speech and then walk away like a badass.
Mm-hmm.
So that Kylo Ren was so cool at first. First impression, yeah, this guy's awesome. You know, and there were so many questions. You know, God, the Snoke theories were so much fun for 2 years, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I didn't particularly enjoy The Force Awakens, but I didn't hate it. I watched it again. I'll put it that way. And then Rogue One came out, which I did like, and I was excited about that. But that's not really what we're talking about right now, so I'll just skip over it. So I've got this positive Star Wars momentum going. And then The Last Jedi came out, and the disappointment became real.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think Richard said, I was talking about just leaving the theater, but of course I couldn't. I owed it to myself and the ticket price to stick it out. I agree with Richard. I think it would have been a lot more appropriate for Carrie Fisher's character to have not flown back into that ship.
Yeah. Like,
that would have been like such a perfect send off.
Well, and that's the thing, like, when, because she died before they released The Last Jedi, so I mean they could have edited it that way, and that would have maybe put, you know, cemented Kylo's journey to the dark side.
Absolutely. And it would have been, you know, I was on the verge, and then she started flying, and I was like, okay, good. I'm not going to burst out crying in this theater because I'm a big, tough man and I can't be having that.
Yeah.
But if they would have, you know, let her pass in that moment, that would have been it. It would have been over.
Yeah.
I liked how JJ set the stage in The Force Awakens because it did have a lot of potential despite my little niggling, you know, nitpicks.
Yep.
But it was a great setting to start with. And Johnson dropped the ball.
Yeah.
And then he went to the ball store and knocked all the other balls off all the shelves.
Yep.
So needless to say, after that, I was quite upset. I didn't go see Solo like a lot of people didn't. Worst Star Wars showing in history, I think, with that movie.
Yep.
And man, I was so tempted to go and see, what the heck is the new one? Rise of Skywalker.
Yep.
I was tempted. They almost reeled me in with that Palpatine laugh stuck in at the end of the trailer.
Yep.
But I knew it was a trap. And I just couldn't do it. So I have not seen the last one. Or Solo.
All right.
So I guess it got my hopes up and then massively let me down with the sequel trailer.
Yeah, the Rise of Skywalker, I think, is the first Star Wars movie that I've only ever seen once. And it's on Disney Plus. I can watch it anytime I want because I still subscribe to Disney Plus, but I don't. I really don't want to do it again.
I ran out of Mandalorian episodes, so I ended my subscription.
a lot of people did that. Yeah. All right. Well, we did. Richard mentioned Rogue One and Solo, so let's talk about those films as well. Rogue One, I liked it. I liked the concept. You know, I liked seeing the Empire, you know, like the Empire is such an awesome adversary, you know, like, and I like the fact that we got to see the Star Destroyer orbiting that, you know, like just above that city, just hovering, you know, like that visual was just awesome. I loved, you know, that they brought Darth Vader into it and they had James Earl Jones doing the voice. I loved, of course, the final Darth Vader kicking ass scene. That was amazing.
Who didn't love that?
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, that was cool. And even Carrie Fisher at the end, like, you know, the CGI Carrie Fisher, I was okay with that. I thought that was kind of a nice, you know.
They did a really good job on that CGI, too.
It was clean. Even Grand Moff Tarkin, you know, like, I really liked Grand Moff Tarkin, even though, like, I know that's not really him. Peter Cushing unfortunately died, I believe, in 1994. So that's definitely not him. But if you didn't know, like my son, for example, he's not a Star Wars fan, but he did go watch that movie because his buddy is a Star Wars fan, and he's like, you got to come with me to this movie. He had no idea Grand Moff Tarkin was a CGI character. Like, he had no clue whatsoever. He's like, really? That wasn't a real person? I'm like, no. And, he was blown away by that. So they did a good job. Solo, I knew was not going to work. Because, really, you can't... I don't know. I think the thing that ruined it the most was the fact that they did not have Harrison Ford participate in that movie. Going back to the 2009 Star Trek movie, one of the reasons why it kind of worked for me was the fact that they had Leonard Nimoy in it, and they had Leonard Nimoy interacting with Zachary Quinto. You know, they're both playing the same character. So you kind of bought into this that, well, old Spock acknowledges this is his younger version, so this is his younger version, you know? Whereas, I think Solo, it might have been a little bit better had it been, like, Han, an older Han telling a story about his past, about how he met Chewie, or, it could be, like, what they should have done. Is that, because they were, as far as I know, filming this the same time, around the same time they were doing Last Jedi, they could have had Carrie Fisher. Like, they could have had, like, Han and Leia, while they're still together talking, Leia asks him, like, you've never told me the story about how you and Chewie met, and then he recounts the story. I think, having that bridge would have, I would have bought into the younger version character better. But I just didn't buy into it. I was like, this guy ain't Harrison Ford. Like, it's just not. The only thing I liked, I can't remember the actor's name. Paul Bettany. They kind of shoehorned him in to be the bad guy. Because if you watch the movie, Paul Bettany, I can't remember his character's name, but he's basically the bad guy of the movie, right? And all his scenes are in that one room. You never see him anywhere else because they actually filmed those last. For whatever reason, they had a different villain or something in the movie, but they cut those scenes out because I guess it didn't work. So they brought Paul Bettany in to play this other villain, and then they just basically shoehorned him into the movie. Emilia Clarke, I absolutely love. I think she's absolutely beautiful, and I think she looked absolutely stunning in this movie. Like, absolutely stunning. I like the nod to Darth Maul. When he shows up there at the end. I was pretty excited about that because that's the first time in a live-action movie they've acknowledged that Darth Maul survived the Phantom Menace. Even though, Clone Wars and Rebels is considered canon, it's still animated, there's still that possibility that they might pull back and say, oh, no, this isn't canon anymore. But actually seeing Darth Maul, I was like, oh, okay, like, interested to see where this goes. But I guess we won't know because they're not going to be doing a sequel. But yeah, it wasn't very good. Like, there's certain origin stories I don't think you need to go. Like, it's like, to me, Han Solo is like up there with Wolverine, right, from the comic books. We didn't need to know Wolverine's origin story. I like the fact that it was shrouded in mystery, that Wolverine himself didn't even know his own origin story, right? With Han, he did the Kessel Run in 14 parsecs or whatever. You know that Chewie has a life debt to Han. We didn't really need to go there. I didn't think, I really wish the Solo movie, maybe they would have, I really think it was a missed opportunity, like with Solo and Rogue One. I really thought that they could have used those movies to help with some of the backstory for the sequel trilogy. Like, Emilia Clarke's character, for example, you know, her or what's the actress from Rogue One? Drawing a blank on her name. But anyway, one of those ladies could have been like Rey's mom or something, right? Like, you know, or like Darth Vader, like for example, like in Rogue One, like that guy, his butler or whatever, I'm not sure what his name is. I thought that was Snoke. When I first saw that character, I was like, that's Snoke. That makes sense. You know, Snoke isn't a Sith, but it would make sense that Darth Vader would have someone working for him who could use the Force, and it would make sense that Darth Vader would, you know, you employ this person to basically, you know, be a sparring partner, as well as his butler. And maybe that's why Snoke's face got mangled, because Darth Vader cut him up, you know? But, of course, those are two different characters, and we don't know the story between that, you know, that butler guy or whatever. A lot of missed opportunities, I think, with those two films. But, anyway, Kevin, what are your thoughts on Rogue One and Solo?
So, Rogue One, I think, is the closest we've gotten to, like, an R-rated Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Just going all out, make it mature, make it adult. And it works well because it doesn't yes, it's like before New Hope and it fits into the story.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing there that they had to worry about where it fits in the story and walking on eggshells. No, we can't do this here and we can't do that here. Self-contained, everyone's introduced, everyone's taken off, you know,
mm-hmm.
off the playing field there. We can enjoy it. We can go all out. It doesn't matter. And you made a good point about Wolverine, and I think it works for Solo, because the problem with Solo becomes, all right, everything we have to do has to fit in with the other movies and the other stories of Han Solo.
Yep.
So it's confining their storytelling, just like Wolverine in the comics. Well, can he be here and here? I don't know. We did this story like 20 years ago, so I don't know if he can do this too. And it just puts handcuffs on the whole story, which is Solo. Like, they would have been further ahead if Solo was about, you know, call it something else. Call it anything else, and it still takes place in the Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been better, because it would have felt like they had a little freedom to tell their story.
Yep.
Like Rogue One did.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the more and more about what does and doesn't count for Star Wars, the more and more we're going to see stories like that it's probably for, you know, as we wrap things up, but I think the tighter you hang on to continuity, the more damage you do.
Yeah, exactly. I really don't understand why they don't do original stories. You know, even Rogue One, like, I mean, it's based on that line from, you know, A New Hope, you know, like the, you know, rebel spies have stolen the plans for the Death Star. Like, it was cool. That was a good film. But, like, Solo, I mean, that was an opportunity. You could have done a movie about Snoke or, you know, somebody that we don't know yet. And build from there. Like, but anyway, Richard, did you have anything to add to these two films?
Honestly, there was some really cool things about Solo that I liked. Donnie Yen was in it, and that was just cool because I'm a big Donnie Yen fan.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the scene at the end with Vader, the story. It was a story, and Solo. Well, Solo was just disappointing with their ridiculous fembot and other things like that. I mean, they could have done better, but, I mean, it's what we got, right?
Yep. And Curtis, I know you haven't seen Solo, but what did you think about Rogue One?
I get such a kick out of Rogue One. I love it. I love the robot. I mean, who doesn't?
Yep.
The droid, what the heck's his name? The reprogrammed.
HK-43, droid. I think.
Right. Whatever his name is. Yeah, so I get such a kick out of him. Again, Donnie Yen. I really like Donnie Yen too. I like his character in this movie as well as his sidekick. It was just a different flavor of Star Wars. You know, I can talk about what I like till the cows come home, but it was a little bit of a different flavor, and it was nice to see some setup story for A New Hope, which of course was the first Star Wars that anyone had ever seen, and one of the first lines that anyone had ever heard had talked about these damn rebels stealing the plans for this Death Star, whatever the heck that is. I don't know. It was just like a fun flavor film for me.
Yep. Excellent. All right, so unfortunately, I can say the consensus is we weren't fans of the sequel trilogy, we're not fans of Solo, we all seem to like Rogue One. But let's move on to something I think, well, I suspect universally we will like, and that is The Mandalorian. Wow. I was not expecting it to be this good, but wow, was I surprised. I love the lore behind the show, you know, the Mandalorian code and all that. I really like that actor. I'm really bad with names tonight. He was Prince Oberyn on Game of Thrones. Awesome. Awesome actor. The cast, you know, the special effects, Baby Yoda, even though that's not his name, the child, Giancarlo Esposito as Moff Gideon. Oh, I love that actor. He is so awesome. I got to meet him in Calgary.
Breaking Bad too.
Yeah, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul. He's going to be on season 2 of The Boys. Amazing actor. So good. Apparently he wants to do a Marvel movie. He wants to get in on the Marvel movies. So I'm hoping they let him because he's really cool. And I gotta say, like, I met him at the 2014 Calgary Comic Con. He's one of the nicest celebrities I've ever met. He's so friendly. And so,
which is weird because if I recall correctly, your picture with him is him holding a box cutter to your neck.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, you could buy those. Like, he was selling them, and he would autograph them, because that's the same box cutter, same style of box cutter he used to slit that guy's throat on Breaking Bad.
That's so cool.
But yeah, so charismatic, like, such a friendly guy. But yeah, in that picture, like, that was total Gus, man. Like, he looks like Gus. He's got that cold, dead stare. But that's not who he is. If you watch Breaking Bad and you imagine Gus, he's the complete opposite. Like, he's so friendly. Like, I gotta say, like, one of the best celebrities I've ever met. And that picture, he didn't even charge me for that. I got that for free.
That's so cool.
Yeah, he's that nice. Like, my buddy had, like, his, like, professional camera with him, and he's like, oh, would you mind if I took a picture? And he did. He totally posed. He grabbed the box cutter, pretend to cut my throat, and it was awesome. And yeah, when he showed up as Moff Gideon, I was giddy. And he's such a badass. He's got that imperial way about him that's so awesome. I love the fact that this takes place after Return of the Jedi, and, you know, the Empire is scattered, but yet there's still kind of a threat. You know, there's still a force to be reckoned with. But, yeah, Mandalorian, I can't say enough great things. The Mandalorian and Watchmen were, like, my two favorite shows of 2019 for, like, brand new shows. But, yeah, it's fantastic. Kevin, what are your thoughts on The Mandalorian?
So, when Star Trek first came around, Western in space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the original Star Wars. Oh, it's just like the old movie serials, the adventure ones and the Westerns and all. But Mandalorian is absolutely all of that. Everything that everyone said previous things were, it is. And it's this amazing combination of it. And like we were saying before with the sequels, it's clear there's a beginning, middle, end pre-planned before they even started filming.
Mm-hmm.
Everything happens for a reason. Everything's a part of a bigger storyline. And to be so influenced by, you know, Westerns and certainly manga, like the Lone Wolf and Cub's very obvious an influence on it. But it's not dependent on you knowing all of that stuff to enjoy it too. Mm-hmm. Like I like Ready Player One, but you need to know about 20, 40 other works to get everything in that.
Yeah.
You can just watch Mandalorian. That's all you need to do. You don't even have to watch other Star Wars to enjoy Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the first step into, let's enjoy this world that is Star Wars and just tell stories in this universe created that they don't all have to tie in and be part of something else. Like, I've read enough Marvel comics. I could tell a story in that universe and I don't need to bring Spider-Man into it. You know, it could still feel like Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
This is our first time having a Star Wars one that doesn't have to be connected to the grand Skywalker epic. It could just be its own thing. And yep. What do you know? It's good.
Yeah, exactly. Richard, your thoughts on The Mandalorian?
Honestly, it's the best thing that came out of Star Wars in the last decade, I'm sure. Cara Dune, the female shock trooper mm-hmm. actress, literal real-life ass kicker. You know, she was one of the top-rated female...
MMA
fighters. I was yep. trying to remember the name of the actual outfit, but either way, like she...
Gina Carano.
Yeah, Gina Carano in the UFC. That's what I'm looking for. She was one of the top-rated UFC fighters. She is a good actress. In my opinion, she's attractive as nothing else.
So beautiful, yeah. So beautiful.
And you know what? They didn't have to force anything. You know, she was just her, you know, yep. kicking some ass and having fun, and that's just totally fine. And it didn't take away from the Mandalorian himself.
No. Nope.
Which was a big deal for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was nothing taken away from him, and he got to do his thing, and she got to do hers, and it was great. Baby Yoda, probably the most memeable character of the last couple of years, in my opinion. I thought that it was a super cute little character, and he had some funny personality quirks as well, which I appreciate those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, aside from that, it was really well done. They had definitive moments of, like, this is what's going to happen when, and the fight scenes. And I'm just a big fan of Mandalorians in general, you know, for Mandalore and all that. My wallet itself has like a metal piece on it that's, you know, the Mandalorian symbol, which, you know, that's just a little thing. But in general, yeah, it was fantastic. Really well done. And I'm hopeful for good, you know, shows like that in the future if they can be at the level of the Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Curtis, your thoughts on The Mandalorian?
Man, there's not a lot I can add that hasn't already been said. The ingredients were all just in the perfect proportions. They were mixed in the right order. The pacing of the show seems slow, but man, is it perfect? Like, am I crazy to think that? It seems like it comes off a little slow, but it just works so yep. well for what they're doing. Like Richard said, Gina Carano, when her character was brought in, I did eye roll a little bit because I was like, okay, it's the way Star Wars is going, here we go again. And by the end of the episode, I had my foot firmly in my mouth, and I was like, okay, I was wrong. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I what a cast, too. It's just such a I like how they had all new characters in every episode. But they didn't. I don't know. I liked it. A lot of the times I don't like that sort of format, but I think they made it work.
Yep.
And how funny was it seeing Bill Burr in Star Wars, for Christ's sakes?
Yep. I was going to mention him. Yep.
And one of his buddies, by the way, was played by Clancy Brown, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Proving once again that everything's connected to Lost because Clancy Brown was in Lost as well.
Yep. Well, yeah, speaking of the cast, Pedro Pascal, that's who I was thinking of. He is the Mandalorian. Gina Carano, like we said, Carl Weathers, as Greef Karga, Like, that was awesome, seeing Carl Weathers. Werner Herzog is the client. Nick Nolte, I can't remember the name of his character, but he was the little guy on the planet that fixed the Mandalorian ship. The one that always says, "I have spoken." That guy. Taika Waititi, he directed some episodes as well. He was IG-11. Giancarlo Esposito, like I said. Emily Swallow as the armorer. Yeah, she's really beautiful lady underneath that helmet.
Dude, but how cool is that armorer, though?
Oh, yeah. That's a
fantastic character.
Yep, that is, yeah. Like, yeah, the strength of this show is in its planning. Why am I drawing a blank on his name now? Jon Favreau, the guy that basically planned, you know, the MCU. He's the one that brought Iron Man to the big screen. He's the one that directed Iron Man 2. He's the one that, you know, set everything up for the Avengers. And he's the guy that's making the show. This is his show, Jon Favreau. Also, like I said, Taika Waititi directed some episodes. Bryce Dallas Howard directed some episodes. And also, I can't remember the guy's name. Dave Filoni. He's the guy behind Clone Wars and Rebels. He also is one of the producers of the show. And also, like, I love the fact that Katie Sackhoff, she's going to be in season 2. She played a Mandalorian character in Star Wars Rebels, and she's going to be playing that same character, but the live action version, which is brilliant because, you know, her animated character design was based on her. So the fact that she's going to be playing this character is awesome. Ahsoka Tano is apparently going to be in this as well. Played by Rosario Dawson. Or no. Yeah, I think so. Rosario Dawson? Yeah, I think so. And who else? Oh, you know, how... like, okay, first of all, I'm geeking out here. The second last episode of The Mandalorian, when Moff Gideon flies in on that TIE fighter and lands it, how cool was that? Like, I've always wanted to see a TIE fighter land, and we got to see that. And then in the last episode, you know, after his TIE fighter crashes, we see him cut his way out of it using the Darksaber. And, you know, for anyone who knows, you know, the Darksaber is tied to the Mandalorian lore. Like, that was based, you know, there was a Jedi that was also a Mandalorian. And instead of creating a lightsaber, he created the Darksaber, which was then passed on to the leaders of the Mandalorian. So the fact that Moff Gideon has this Darksaber, because there's only one, is very significant. And, you know, because when we last saw the Darksaber was in Star Wars Rebels, and the Mandalorians were still a thing, and they had the Darksaber. I think it was Katie Sackhoff's character actually had the Darksaber. So I'm kind of wondering, like, if she's going to be in season 2, are we going to see her in a flashback? Are we going to see Moff Gideon kill her and take the Darksaber? Are we going to see her trying to get the Darksaber back? Maybe she wasn't killed. You know, there's so many cool things that they're going to be doing, and the way they tied it into Star Wars lore worked. You know, unlike the sequels that didn't really work, and there's some continuity issues and some head-scratching decisions, everything with this show has been on point. You know, there's nothing, like, coming out of that first season, there was nothing I was like, well, they should have done that better, or, you know, I don't like what, you know, they got that, you know, continuity wrong. No, like, everything was on point. Like, they, you know, really respected the lore of what came before. And you can tell that Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni are Star Wars fans. I think that's the biggest problem, like, with the sequel movies, you know, with Kathleen Kennedy being the showrunner of Star Wars. I really don't think she's a big Star Wars fan, you know? And I think if you're going to have something be successful, kind of like, like what's going on with Star Trek with Alex Kurtzman. Alex Kurtzman is not a Star Trek fan, so that's why Star Trek sucks right now. Whereas, like, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, they're Star Wars fans. Like, they're diehard Star Wars fans, and they want to do it right. And you can tell, like, this show is so well done. It's absolutely fantastic. But anyway,
well, that's just the difference of when you play nice with 40 years of lore written in this mm-hmm. universe instead of, like, needing to carve out your own chunk of it.
Yeah, well, and I'm all for carving out your own chunk as long as you don't shit on what came before, you know, like, as long as you respect what came before, like, it's all good. But yeah, like I said, I don't think that Kathleen Kennedy, I don't think she's a fan. I really don't. And apparently, you know, some behind the scenes things that I've read, I don't know how true this is. Apparently she's kind of getting pushed out. Like she, you know, like, you know,
I've heard that. Overlord DVD channel on YouTube has been talking a lot about that.
Yeah, like I think, you know, with The Rise of Skywalker being the flop that it was, you know, I think Disney's like, we need to do something. Like, you know, like we want to make money. We don't want to, you know, lose this license to print money. But
well, and there's names being whispered on the wind that I'm not going to give. I'm not going to give any credence to the rumors, but there's some really cool possibilities. I'll say that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hopeful. Like, fingers crossed. I'm hoping we get to see something. And I know the one name that was dropped was Kevin Feige, the head of Marvel Movies, that he might be, you know, helping Star Wars out creatively in some respect, whether he's show running or writing a movie or something, which I'm cool with. Because like I said, you know, look what he, you know, accomplished with help, you know, with the Russo brothers and stuff, like with the Avengers movies, Avengers Endgame, you know, like that was a perfect end to that, you know, first 21 movies of Marvel, you know, like that was a perfect bookend. And that's really what The Rise of Skywalker should have been. Like that should have been, it should have been an, oh my God, this is so awesome movie. And it wasn't. It was like, oh my God, I can't believe they shit the bed with this movie.
Yeah.
Should have been. I wasn't surprised, honestly, when they shit the bed after, like, that whole trilogy. No.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, The Mandalorian, I can't say, I'm so excited for season two. I can't wait. Apparently, it's still coming out in October. Apparently, they had it filmed. They're just doing, like, the edits and stuff. Now, you know, with the whole COVID thing, I was worried that it was going to get delayed, but apparently it's not. So, I'm excited, you know. You know, they got me. Like it made me feel good about Star Wars again, you know, in a way I haven't felt for a while. And kudos to Disney Plus, you know, like, you know, them doing a Star Wars show, you know, and doing it right. It makes me hopeful for the Marvel shows, you know, like I'm really looking forward to, you know, Cap or Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I'm looking forward to the Loki show, WandaVision, the What If cartoon. Disney Plus, you know, they really hit it out of the park with The Mandalorian for sure. All right, well, does anyone have anything to add to The Mandalorian before we move on?
I don't think so. It's just a really good show, all in all.
It is, yeah. All right, well, let's talk about the books. Have you guys been reading any of the new books that have been coming out? I haven't been reading the books, but I have been reading the comic books. Because since Disney acquired Star Wars, and Disney also owns Marvel Comics, I think it was in 2015 when their license with Dark Horse Comics finally was up, and they moved all their their comic properties over to Marvel. And I've been really enjoying not so much the Star Wars book itself, but the Darth Vader book. I really enjoyed the Darth Vader comics. And they've had some really good writers like in the comic book industry. Like they've had Charles Soule writing Darth Vader. And I think now it's Greg Pak. And he's doing a great job. But as far as the novels go, like, I haven't really been reading any of the new Star Wars novels. Like, I tried to read the Aftermath books, because they did this trilogy, and it's called Aftermath. And what it is, it's supposed to basically bridge the gap between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. It's supposed to explain, like, what happened to the Empire, you know, how they became the First Order, you know, the New Republic. And I started reading the first one, and I made it, like, I think 80 pages, and I stopped. I was like, this sucks. I'm so bored. Like, it's not considered canon anymore, but I can't say enough great things about the Timothy Zahn Star Wars trilogy, like the one that he did in the 90s. Because, okay, the way the story goes is, you know, George Lucas, they did Return of the Jedi in 83. And originally they were going to do a sequel trilogy. That was the rumor. There was going to be an episode 7, 8, 9, and then they were going to do 1, 2, 3. But for whatever reason, George Lucas never did the sequel trilogy. I think he was waiting for the technology to improve. And then by that time, I guess he felt, you know, Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford was too old. And I think back, like, in the mid-90s, like, Harrison Ford said he would never do Star Wars again. So George Lucas kind of just moved on, right? So he turned to a writer named Timothy Zahn, a very good science fiction writer, and said, can you do a trilogy? I want to do a trilogy. I want to explain what happens to Luke, Leia. I want to know, you know, explain what happened to the Empire and that sort of thing. So he did this trilogy called the Thrawn Trilogy, which is, the first one's Heir to the Empire, second one is called Dark Force Rising, and the third one is, what's the third one called? Oh, The Last Command. They're awesome. Like, those books should have been the sequel trilogy. Like, they should have adapted them. They would obviously have to change some stuff because these books take place 5 years after Return of the Jedi. But, you know, and obviously they'd have to change it because, you know, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, they're all older at the time when they decided to do the sequel trilogy. But they could have adapted those books and they would have been awesome. They would have been way better than what we got. So even though they're called Legends now, like, now they have the canon books, which is these new books like the Aftermath books and all the ones that are made now, but all the books prior to that were before the Disney acquisition are called Legends. And I gotta tell you, if you want good Star Wars books, those Timothy Zahn books, he did the Thrawn trilogy, and then he did a two-part book series called The Hand of Thrawn, and they're amazing. Like, absolutely amazing books. Can't say enough great things about them.
Let's not also forget the fact that General Thrawn is basically the most badass member of the Empire after Vader, essentially.
Oh yeah. Grand Admiral Thrawn, yes.
Yeah, Grand Admiral Thrawn.
And I mean, he was featured in Star Wars Rebels. For the season 3 and 4 of Rebels, he's the big bad guy in that, and he's so awesome. Like, they did such a good job bringing that character to that show. And then he's also, they've done some books that are considered continuity. Like, Timothy Zahn, the guy who created him, has wrote some new Thrawn books, which are interesting. They actually did a comic book series based on the first book, which is really good. I highly recommend picking it. If you don't want to read a novel, I recommend picking up that book series. Or, sorry, comic book series of Thrawn. And actually, the Heir to the Empire, the Thrawn trilogy is actually a comic book series that the Dark Horse did back in the 90s as well. And it's very good, too. But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff. Kevin, what are your thoughts on Star Wars books and comics?
So I've seen the new ones come through work, and I'm just looking at it thinking, I'm not investing the time and the energy. I just can't right now. Plus, you know, like you're saying, for these other books that used to be canon, I don't want to waste all the time, and in 10 years it doesn't count.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to go down that road again.
Yeah.
But for the newer comics, I really like Dr. Aphra. I think it's a great introduction for a character that is connected to Familiar, but doesn't need it. You can explore, do her own thing, go to different corners of the Star Wars universe. There was a series called Vader Down where his ship crashes and the rebels decide to swarm the planet that he's on. And oh my God, it was so good. And I'm watching, I'm like, there's a little you have to do with our Familiar characters, you know, Luke, Leia stuff, but you could easily make this a movie right now. Fits right in between the stories. Don't have to mess with anything. Just Vader kicking ass.
Yep.
It's super easy to do. And then I've been trying to organize my comics, and I found the old Dark Horse series, Tales of the Jedi, which was pretty much them saying, like, look, we're not going to deal with Lucasfilm having to tell us what we can and can't do with their characters, so we're going to just tell stories of Jedi from, like, 1,000 years ago and do our own thing. But they're so good. There's tons of great stories there to just, you know, use it as an IP farm. Just cherry pick these stories and do other stuff with it. It's already sitting there waiting. You could pretend it's part of the new continuity easily.
And I'm totally okay with that, honestly. The level of creativity and talent that comes out of these authors when they're writing these books or, you know, drawing up these comics. For a long time, I watched a channel on YouTube called Star Wars Theory. And that guy is insane. He made, he's in the process of making part two, but he made a short film about Vader. And it alluded to Mace Windu coming back. And it's crazy good. I think he got permission right from Lucasfilm about it. There was a little bit of drama between the two, but they got it figured out from what I recall. And yeah, if you could imagine Mace Windu coming back, that would be one of the coolest things. You know, that's getting into the theoretical, but that would be one of the coolest things that they could potentially make a movie out of, you know, like new characters. And, you know, all of a sudden Mace Windu shows up, whether he's good or bad, or maybe he's got some illicit intents down there, like, who knows? But that could be an excellent movie, like farming IP from people that have been doing this stuff for years.
And to add to that, when you're talking about this film that guy made, there's a Darth Maul film that somebody did a few years back. It is awesome. Like, it is really good. They have Darth Maul is basically hunting Jedi. Basically he's trying to prove himself to Darth Sidious. Like, the guy playing Darth Maul was amazing. The guy that they had playing Sidious was cool. And the people playing, you know, they had all these different type of Jedi, and they're having lightsaber fights. It was such a good fan film. Like, I think it's about a half an hour long or 20 minutes or something like that. It's on YouTube. It's really good. Curtis, your thoughts on books or comic books?
Well, the only single Star Wars book I've ever read is The Dark Lord, The Rise of Darth Vader, which Richard still has sitting on his shelf for the last 10 years and hasn't picked up.
Not quite 10 years.
That's the only one I've read, and I don't remember it in detail. I'll have to read it again, but I do remember thoroughly enjoying it. As for any of the Legends material, the only thing I've ever seen of a comic was in a magazine years and years ago, and it was one of the Skywalker descendants running around with R2-D2. I don't even remember what the heck they were doing. Jeez, it might have been even a heavy metal comic magazine from way back.
That's going way back.
Yeah, honestly, I don't have much to add. Just the one book I did read was great. I don't even remember the author. But, no, unfortunately, I haven't read a whole lot of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, like with me, I read the Timothy Zahn books. I would like to go back and read the Jedi Academy trilogy, because I'm told that's very good. But yeah, it's there's definitely some good stuff out there. Like the newer stuff, I'm not trying to shit on it or anything, but like Kevin said, like I just can't bring myself to read any of the new stuff. But Kevin also brought up Dr. Aphra. Like that is a really good comic book. And that is a character I would love to see her get a Disney Plus show or something. Like I think that would be amazing. All right, so let's move on to the animation. Has anyone been watching, like, they just had the new final season, I guess, of Clone Wars? I unfortunately never really got into watching the Clone Wars. That's not that I got anything against it. It's just I never watched it. But it is on Disney Plus, so I can go and watch it now. I did watch Rebels. I really enjoyed Rebels. You know, like I said, they did some really great things. Dave Filoni was making that show, and they had some really good guest stars. Like, they did one episode with Billy Dee Williams. He came on. There was an episode, I think, with Carrie Fisher, or maybe it was the... I can't remember. I think it was Carrie Fisher. Or maybe it was her daughter doing the voice of a younger Leia. That might have been it. And then they had James Earl Jones in season two as Darth Vader for several episodes. They had Palpatine on the second last episode of Rebels, I believe. They introduced Thrawn to the show. They had Anthony Daniels and R2-D2 in that show for an episode or two. It was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed it. You know, definitely, it's on Disney Plus. Definitely worth watching. And Clone Wars, I've seen some scenes. I've watched some stuff on YouTube. So I definitely intend on going back. It looks really good as well. And like I said, with, you know, if you enjoy The Mandalorian, you'll enjoy Rebels, especially the last couple seasons, because they delve into the Mandalorian lore a little bit, and they have the Darksaber in that show. I think they have the Darksaber in Clone Wars as well. But I'm not sure exactly, because in Star Wars Rebels, the Mandalorians take their helmets off, whereas in the Mandalorian, he never does, except for that when he has to, when IG-11 has to, you know, tend to his wounds. And like he says, it's part of his code, but I don't know if that's all Mandalorians, or if that's just like his sect of Mandalorians that where they have to keep their helmets on. Cause I know on Rebels, they all took their helmets off at some point.
And in the Clone Wars, Boba Fett had his entire suit of armor off.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, someone was saying that Boba Fett isn't actually a Mandalorian, that he took a Mandalorian's armor and just uses it or something? Or, well, I guess it would have been his dad's armor, but I'm not sure. Like, was Jango a Mandalorian? Or did he just
take... You're right, I meant to say Jango Fett, my apologies. That's right.
Yeah, Jango was a Mandalorian trained by the Mandalorians, and then Jango trained Boba Fett.
Okay.
As I understand it.
Yeah.
And another good thing about the animated series is Ahsoka Tano. Mm. They feature her in that show, too.
Yep.
Can't mess with that chick. Holy.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they were thinking about, or if they haven't planned it yet, but they were talking about having her played by Rosario Dawson.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, that's...
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's who... I had mentioned her... I think in The Mandalorian, I think she's going to, they're planning on having her show up in that show. Which, that would be cool. Yeah, which I'd be totally cool with. Because then she did show up in Rebels, and she does have a battle with Darth Vader. But we don't find out what happens to her character. You know, she seemingly dies, but she may not have died. She may have escaped.
Well, they can change deaths, obviously, as easily as changing underwear with, you know, Palpatine and all that.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, you know, one more thing I want to say before I forget. I meant to mention it earlier on, but the fact that Kylo Ren just killed Snoke with a mind trick, like, that's not possible. I don't think it's possible.
It's okay, buddy. The rumor mill churns, and they might be retconning the whole trilogy, so we'll see.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah, I think I heard about that.
Yeah, I never bought into that either, and now they're saying, like, Snoke was an extension of Palpatine, like he was a clone that Palpatine controlled or something, because in The Last Jedi, Snoke states that the reason why there's this connection between Kylo and Rey is because of him, because that he was bringing them together. But then in Rise of Skywalker, Palpatine doesn't know that they have this connection, right? But if Palpatine was controlling Snoke, then he would know that. But he doesn't. Again, such a mess. Such a steaming pile of mess. But anyway, let's talk about the future of Star Wars a little bit. What would we like to see? Like, I know there's the rumor of the Obi-Wan Kenobi show for Disney Plus, and I know Ewan McGregor apparently has stated, like, he wants to come back and he's willing to do an Obi-Wan Kenobi show. I'm all for that if it's done right, you know. Like, Ewan McGregor played the young Obi-Wan. You know, he's a little bit older now, so it could make sense to have him. You know, I would love, because in Star Wars Rebels, spoilers, it features the final showdown between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Maul. And even though we've seen that on Rebels, I would love to see that same scene played out live action. I would love to see, Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan Kenobi have his final stand against Darth Maul. You know, I'm really hopeful for an Obi-Wan Kenobi Disney Plus show based on The Mandalorian. I mean, what they've done with The Mandalorian, you know, if this was a Obi-Wan Kenobi movie, I'd be a little skeptical. But, you know, they're doing good things with The Mandalorian, so I'm looking forward to that. And, of course, you know, season two of The Mandalorian, I can't wait. So excited. And as for the movies, you know, like, there's so many rumors. Like, originally, Rian Johnson was going to do a trilogy of movies, but apparently that's not happening. And then the guys that made Game of Thrones, they were supposed to make a trilogy of movies. Apparently that's not happening now. But I'm not against them doing a trilogy or anything like that. Like, I think that could be good, but do something original. Like, the last rumor I heard was that it was going to take place in a part of the Star Wars galaxy that hasn't been seen. And it wouldn't be about Skywalkers. It wouldn't be about the Empire. It would be its own standalone movie series.
Well, so, to be fair, a lot of that galaxy is not really, like, featured at all.
No.
According to the lore, it's only a small part of the galaxy where hyperspace travel is even possible. There's a ton of possibilities in, like, the whole other half of that galaxy, or three quarters, or however the heck much it is, that's not accessible by hyperspace travel.
Yeah, there's a big chunk of it called the Unknown Regions. And that's actually where Grand Admiral Thrawn comes from. Like, Grand Admiral Thrawn is actually a military officer from an Empire-like species called the Chiss Ascendancy. You know, they're very Empire-like. You know, like, they have their uniforms, and they're very militaristic, like the Empire. So I would love to see the Chiss. You know, their blue skin and glowing red eyes, you know, like they're just, it's a cool concept for an alien race. And they're all, you know, calculating and like I said, militaristic. So, you know, there's so much untapped potential. Definitely. Like, I would love to see something along those lines for sure. Kevin, what would you like to see for the future of Star Wars?
So I think we're going to see more integration and crossover with other things under the Disney umbrella. I would love to see a Star Wars animated movie from Pixar.
That would be cool.
I think you could do a lot with it, and I think it opens up to use, as much as we want them to explore the galaxy, you could use all the familiar characters and just find voice talent that's close for anyone that's no longer with us.
Mm-hmm.
And just have it look cool and, mm-hmm. you know, blow stuff up and go crazy. With the Disney acquisition of Fox and then Marvel news that's come out over last year, it will not shock me at all if there's a Star Wars versus Aliens comic. I will not be shocked one bit.
That
could be cool. I think Predator would be a little tougher. You could still do it, but I think Aliens works its way in there a little easier than Predator does for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's been rumors for about a year now that Marvel is working on their next comic that they guarantee will sell a million copies an issue. And the only thing anyone can come up with is do Star Wars meets Marvel, officially. Because
mm-hmm.
what else is on the table? You know, the epic summer crossover part 87 is not going to sell a million copies. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what else they got that they could pull out except for Star Wars meets Marvel. I also don't know how you would do it, but I guarantee you, oh yeah, that will sell. They'll get into like Walmarts and video game stores, and you know, Amazon will have an exclusive cover. Oh yeah, that would sell a ton of copies. It'll probably happen eventually, but I think they need to wait until, you know, the right time for it. Right now, with, you know, a lot of stores being closed and places being closed up still, you don't want to release something like that. But I think it's coming. I think a lot of this would be on the horizon. If we had a Comic Con this year, we'd probably hear about one of them.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to throw this out there real quick before I move on to the other guys. One thing I would love to see them do, and I know it's been a rumor for a long time, and I think there is a rumor that they are going to go there. I want to see a Knights of the Old Republic movie or a TV show. Like the Old Republic, you know, like back, you know, 1,000 years ago when the Republic was new, when, you know, there were Sith Lords everywhere, you know, the Sith Lords were fighting each other and the Jedi were trying to, you know, get control of the situation. You know, when they came up with the rule of two, you know, I would love to see a Knights of the Old Republic movie or TV show based on like that. You know, game from the late 90s, early 2000s. Like, it'd be fantastic to see something like that. Richard, what would you like to see for the future of Star Wars?
Honestly, if they could do some more shows like The Mandalorian, I would be okay with that. But as far as movies, I'm not hopeful, and I'm not looking for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if they could do a really good Obi-Wan, I don't even know if there's enough material. I mean, Rebels covered a fair bit, and so did the Clone Wars. Maybe do something different, something new. Like, The Mandalorian was in the future, and it was separate from Skywalker and Solo and all of that. Like, there's some characters that could get some love, and they don't have enough of it. Even if they went back to, like, you know, Knights of the Old Republic times, like 50,000 years before the Battle of Yavin or something like that, you know, mm-hmm. they could do a comic book, say, or a TV show based on the events of the Knights of the Old Republic, you know, Darth Treya and some of those people. And, you know, I would like to see the Ebonhawk in action, you know, that'd be really cool. But that's what I'd like.
Excellent. Curtis, what would you like to see for the future of Star Wars?
I'm definitely with you on seeing some more things from the Knights of the Old Republic timeline. I didn't play the game, but you know, the old Sith stories are some of my favorite stories in Star Wars, mm-hmm. and some of the deeper lore. Some of those Sith are really interesting characters, and it would be so cool to see them be expanded in the cinematic or even like a Disney Plus sort of universe. What you were saying, who the heck was mentioning about an Obi-Wan? That was you a minute ago, was it not?
Well, I mentioned it, and Richard also mentioned it as well.
I'd be interested in some Obi-Wan content, because he's a really unique Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
He, particularly with his lightsaber, Form 3. He's like the only guy who's like the master of it.
And I think it was Form 4, wasn't it?
No. Form 3 is the defensive one. Anyway, it's specifically that lightsaber form is what helped him win against Anakin, and why Obi-Wan went to fight Anakin instead of Yoda, because mm-hmm. you would think that Yoda would beat the snot out of him, but actually not. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked here. I would love to see some more Obi-Wan, preferably before we lose Ewan McGregor, who I think did a great job playing him.
Mm-hmm.
He really did. But
my pet project, I would love an Avaloth movie or show, going as far back as like the was it the father and the two siblings, or was there a mother as well? I can't remember, but it's like old lore with these like really powerful force beings, and Avaloth was a mortal who was their servant, I think. And anyway, she ends up becoming this just twisted dark force user who's so powerful that she basically had to be trapped inside of a black hole, I believe is how it goes. That's my little pet thing that I would love to see, but of course I understand that it's not that likely.
I got a couple things, like, while you guys were talking, that I was thinking that I would like to see. Kevin had mentioned, like, you know, with Disney Plus and, you know, Disney's acquisitions and stuff, doing a Pixar Star Wars film. I would love for Disney Plus to do a third Ewoks movie. You know, like, I mean, like, Ewoks are so geared towards children, and Disney Plus obviously is a children's streaming service, primarily. I would love them to do another Ewoks movie. I would love to see what those teddy bears are up to these days. Because when I, like, even though the Ewoks movies, they have not aged well, I loved those when I was a kid. I absolutely loved those, and I know I bought them for my kids when they were younger, and they loved them too. So I would love to see a Disney Plus Ewoks movie. Also, to add to the Obi-Wan thing, one of the things about Revenge of the Sith that we never saw is when Yoda tells Obi-Wan, you know, I'll train you how to commune with your old master, and he says Qui-Gon, right? And so I would love if they, you know, whether it's a Disney Plus series or a movie that they, you know, do with Obi-Wan, with Ewan McGregor, I would love them to have Liam Neeson show up as a Force ghost, or also Yoda, you know, have Obi-Wan talking to them, because that was a throwaway line that Yoda mentions in Revenge of the Sith, that he was going to teach Obi-Wan how to commune with his former master. I would like to see that. And I'm sure Liam Neeson, because Liam Neeson, you know, no offense to Liam Neeson, but he pretty much does anything now, you know, these days, right? I'm sure he'd be willing to do a few scenes with Ewan McGregor again as a Force ghost. I think that would be fantastic. Because that was something that I was hoping to see in Revenge of the Sith. I was hoping to see Qui-Gon show up, but unfortunately we didn't see that. But I would like to see it now. But, all right. Does anyone have anything to add before we call this an episode?
No, I think I'm pretty much talked out of Star Wars for now.
Okay, well, let's do our brain candy segment. And for, well, Richard's been on for our regular episodes prior, but Curtis hasn't. So what, for brain candy, basically what we do is we just discuss something that we've been watching or reading lately, and then we make it either a pick or a pan. So, you know, I'm just going to go around the table and just ask you what you would like to throw out there. So, Kevin, I'll start with you. What do you have for brain candy this week?
All right, so I'm trying the new Muppet show on Disney Plus. And it's different, it's a little weird, but I think it could be something as they, you know, start working through it. It's very similar to the Muppet Show, but a 2020 version. Mm-hmm. Hey, Scooter, have you uploaded the show to the Muppets version of, you know, YouTube or streaming media or whatever? Sure, Kermit, I'm just about to, as long as no one sends me any notes. And all of a sudden the whole computer fills up with everyone's notes mm-hmm. on what they need to do for the show. And then it's Scooter click dragging the different segments into the larger video. And then that's how you watch the different segments, either with the Muppets themselves or the guests or the, you know, a quick joke or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very fast, rapid fire. The guests are across the board. There's some that you'll know and some you're like, I have no clue who this is. I've never seen the show or whatever they're on, but I guess they're famous. Handful of new Muppets, because it goes all the way up to the recent movies and Muppets Most Wanted, then that short-lived ABC show that they did too. So there's some people I'm like, I don't know who this is, but it retains the heart of it. It doesn't go too far. It's not trying to be edgy. It's not trying to be something, you know, cool and new in 2020. It retains the heart of the Muppets of, we're just trying to put a show together and everything's going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's silly and fun. But there's two episodes up. There's new episodes up every Friday, I guess, for a while.
Okay.
Another nice thing to check out in Disney Plus, about a half hour long for each episode.
All right, I'll have to check that out. I'd heard it was coming, but I didn't realize it was up now. That's awesome. Okay, well, for my brain candy this week, it's really quick. My rewatch of Babylon 5 is continuing. I'm on season 5, halfway through season 5 right now, and then I have the movies to watch after that. Because the plan is, after we're done our Deep Space Nine discussion, we're going to move on to Babylon 5. Or was it Babylon 5? We're doing Enterprise next, and then Babylon 5. So I'm kind of getting ahead of the game. So after Babylon 5, I got to rewatch Enterprise for the podcast. And the Umbrella Academy just recently released their season 2 on Netflix. Last month, my wife and I rewatched. Like, I'd watched Umbrella Academy like a year and a half ago when the first season came out. I really enjoyed it, but I didn't really remember a lot of it. So my wife hadn't watched it, so we sat down and we watched it and enjoyed it. She really liked it. So yeah, season 2 is on Netflix, and I'm going to be watching that next. So yeah. Richard, what have you been watching or reading or listening to?
Nothing of note, honestly. I been doing a lot of stuff with the kid, and, mm-hmm. you know, I don't have anything actually to add to this, you know, just random TV shows that don't matter. So, sorry, man, I got nothing for you now.
Oh, it's all good, buddy. I understand. Richard's got a brand new baby at home. It's busy times. Curtis, have you been reading or watching anything lately?
Nothing in particular for myself, but I have been getting the girlfriend in Deep Space Nine lately. First time. We're into season 2. We just wrapped up the episode where Sisko and O'Brien landed on a planet, and they had no technology. And, of course, O'Brien fixed his way out of it like he usually does. That's chugging right along. And she's enjoying it, and she favors the Dax episodes so far.
Nice, nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the Sisko in a box episode, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy. All right, well, let's move on to our Enders segment. And for this segment, we basically just discuss any kind of geek news that is out there that we, you know, wish to discuss. The only thing I have for Enders this week is DC Comics. Apparently, they did a lot of house cleaning recently. They laid off a lot of employees, a lot of the big editors too, like Bob Harris is gone, Bobby Chase is gone. They're cleaning house. Apparently, from what this is the way I understand, AT&T bought Warner Brothers, and then they laid off a bunch of people from Warner Brothers. So, and Warner Brothers owns DC Comics, and now they're moving to DC Comics and getting rid of, trimming the fat essentially. And but they're getting rid of some really big names. Apparently, like Jim Lee, like he's supposed to be the publisher of DC Comics, but they're saying like he's not really the publisher anymore. Like, but he's not unemployed yet. So, and I know like a bunch of DC books were getting canceled already, and now it's more likely that even more are going to be on the chopping block. So, Kevin, did you hear about this, and what are your thoughts?
Oh, my social media and private messages now have been lighting up about this one since it started. So it was about a third of all editors were gone, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm hearing things, so I'll go through. Some of the lettering team has finally announced that they were let go too. DC Collectibles is apparently shut down entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jim Lee is now chief creative officer, and he has two main editors or you know, daily runners of DC that report directly to him, and then Jim Lee has to report directly to Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of the staff of, what was it called, DC Direct or whatever their streaming service is.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone too, which we saw that coming. They're going to just take all that DC Direct and bring it over to HBO Max and close it up. That's a redundancy. I get that. They saw it coming.
Yep.
So the DC Collectibles, the rumor is, instead of doing it in-house, they're just going to farm it out. And we all should have seen this when McFarlane Toys got the license for DC figures.
Hmm.
So instead of them having to operate a whole separate company to make toys, they'll just be like, okay, who wants to make the figures? Who wants to make the statues? You do this, you did this. Here's your cut, here's our cut.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about it anymore. I get it. I could see a higher up in Warner Brothers coming in going, why do you have, you know, 50 letterers? Why are they doing it by hand still? Just do it on a computer. Get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the editors had been there a while, which means they're getting the higher paychecks in theory, too. All right, well, we'll just fire you guys. Everyone else, you now have double the workload, and we're going to pay you less than they were making. That's just how business works. What I really think is happening, and we'll see, rumors there's a big two-year plan for DC Comics. So here's the crazy thing. The number one selling comics in the country are not floppy single issues from comic stores. They're the graphic novels at bookstores.
Yep.
And it's the teen ones. It's the manga. Like Babysitter's Club is a huge graphic novel series, stuff like that. DC's been sliding in there. I actually grabbed some today to check them out. But there's like a Raven one. That's just Raven from Teen Titans, but as a like high school drama graphic novel thing. There's Supergirl one, a Beast Boy one, a younger Batman one, all sorts of stuff. And they sell more of those at your Barnes & Noble and Books A Million and wherever else than they sell single issues in comic stores. I honestly think single issues are going digital only. They'll be collected in graphic novels. And those will be sold online in bookstores, and your local comic store has to decide if they want to do that as well or just be out of the DC business.
Yeah, from a business perspective, it makes sense because single issues, I mean, it's hard. Like, comic book stores are closing all over the place, and the ones that are still in existence, like, they have to change what they're doing. Like, the one comic book store I went to a couple weeks ago with my daughter, I haven't been there in years, right? And I went there, and there was barely any comics. It was, like, gaming. It was all about, you know, like magic cards and different, you know, like the Warhammer 3000, that sort of thing, right? Like they barely had any comic books or even collectibles. Like it was just gaming. Like it's crazy. Like it turned from being a comic book store to a gaming store. But they had to, I guess, to survive, because in that area, like, that's the market, right? And yeah, like with Amazon and with digital comics, like it's hard for single issues to compete. And yeah, like AT&T, you know, like they bought this, you know, they bought Warner Brothers, which owned DC, and, you know, like it makes sense that they're going to clean house. Like they want to maximize, you know, their bottom line. They want to get as much out of it as they can with as little as they've got to actually contribute. It just sucks for all these people, you know, because, you know, the comic, you know, all these editors and inkers and letterers, and I mean, they're just regular people. That's their job, you know, and now they're unemployed, you know, and with everything going on in the world with COVID and everything, it's really shitty timing, But, you know, there's a lot of other businesses that are going out of business because of what's going on in the world. So, yeah, it's rough. It's a rough time for DC Comics, that's for sure. But anyway, does anyone have any other news or anything they wanted to throw in there before we call this an episode? All right. I believe we can call this an episode. This was our State of Star Wars episode. But before we go, let's play that little game of where can we find you on the internet. And Kevin, where can we find you, sir?
All right, you can find all of my writings are masklibrary.com, and at masklibrary is my social media accounts. And then I also do a wrestling podcast called The House Show, where we go and look at 90s era wrestling. We're currently going through the In Your House series. We got a plan for what's coming up after that, too.
Excellent. Excellent. Richard, where can we find you, sir?
Like I said before, nothing special. Monk Lifts at Instagram or YouTube. You know, just a couple of lifting videos. Nothing great.
Excellent. And Curtis, where can we find you, sir?
Nowhere yet, but very soon, I promise. I'm going to be making a new Instagram sometime in the next couple of days on the advice of my trainer that I talked to today. And I'll let you guys know as soon as that's up.
Excellent. And unfortunately, our friend Ragnar was going to be with us tonight, but he got sidetracked and unfortunately couldn't make it. But I would like to plug Ragnar. So, Richard, could you tell us a little bit more about Ragnar the Traitor?
Ragnar the Traitor, aside from being just like a really awesome dude who loves sci-fi and really cool stuff, just like us, he is RagnarTheTraitor.com, same on Facebook. He does Viking gear, horn mugs, patches, necklaces, rings, you name it. I'm a big fan of the horn mugs and the drinking horns. Get on it. That's what I say.
And I love his beard wash and beard oil. It's fantastic, and the girlfriend loves when I wear it.
I second that too.
Good beard products.
Yeah, the salty dog is what it's called. Fantastic.
And Kevin, you just shaved your beard, didn't you?
I did. well, I was at home. I was furloughed for a while.
Yeah.
And my wife challenged me. She's like, you're not at work. You don't have anything to do. Why don't see how long it could go? And once I got to the point I knew I wasn't keeping it, is the only reason I didn't start investing in beard oil. If I thought I was keeping it for a second, I was all set to buy it. But I knew, I'm like, this thing's driving me insane. I don't like how it looks. There's a lot more gray than I thought. So I knew if I was investing in beard oil, I was investing in hair dye too.
Well, I'm envious of you guys because, well, for one thing, I have to stay clean shaven for my job. But even if I didn't, I can't grow facial hair to save my life. Like I'm part native, and the native genes in me are strong when it comes to facial hair. And as people know, there isn't a lot of bearded native people out there. So I'm
one of them, believe it or not.
Yeah, but you can grow facial hair though, right?
I know. I got exactly that gene from the white side of the family, so I'm good on the beard front.
Oh yeah, I'm envious, man. Like my dad can grow a wicked goatee when he wants to, but I just can't. Like I just it's frustrating. And I fortunately for my job, I have to stay clean shaven, so you know, that's a nice excuse that I get to use. But anytime I let my hair grow out, like it's like I gotta shave it because it's not only is it itching, but I know it's gonna look terrible. So, but anyway, all right. Well, this was another episode of the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. I should say you can check out my blog at randomnerdist.blogspot.com. And this was the State of Star Wars episode. And I'll go around the bend. Thank you, Kevin, for joining. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Curtis. And I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to this episode of the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. I was your host. My name is Chris Lockhart. And we will see you again in the not-too-distant future.